So for the last couple of weeks, we've been studying the parables of Jesus as he talks about the kingdom of heaven in the Gospel of Matthew, or the kingdom of God in Mark and Luke, but kingdom of heaven since we're talking the Gospel of Matthew here. So on February 12th, I preached on the parable of the wheat and the weeds. Was anyone here for that one? Okay, parable of the wheat and the weeds. Okay, remember how there was an enemy who sowed what was probably bearded darnel, this poisonous weed that looks just like wheat. It becomes poison if it gets harvested with the wheat. Remember that story? Okay. So Jesus, he tells us something crazy. He says, yeah, don't pull the weeds. Don't pull the weeds from the garden, because only God is capable of figuring out what's good and what's bad. Only God is capable of judging us. And Jesus' point is that there's no place for judging each other in the kingdom of heaven. That's a hard thing, isn't it? I'm tempted to judge all the time. And that's a good parable for me to be reminded of. And on February 26th, I preached on the unforgiving servant. Anyone here for that one? Okay, cool. So, remember how there's a tax collector who owed $10 billion. And then he choked another man because the guy owed him a couple $100s. Okay? He was forgiven a debt of $10 billion. And he grabbed a guy around the throat for a couple hundred. Anyone relate to that? That we've been forgiven so much by the grace of God, and yet we get so mad when we get cut off in traffic. Jesus' point is that when we deny forgiveness to others, we risk losing God's forgiveness ourselves. This is a hard message to hear, and one we need to hear frequently. And I challenged you to consider your own lingering resentments before you came to church this morning so that we could let them go at the communion table today. The kingdom of heaven is a strange and wonderful place. In God's kingdom, we're not going to judge each other. In God's kingdom, we will forgive each other's debts. We are talking about the kingdom of heaven in the Isaiah class to get today, and all the animals lying down together. Man, the kingdom of heaven is a weird and wonderful and delightful place, and I want to be a part of it. And it's right now, and it's also not yet. Today, we're going to hear about God's kingdom, something else that makes us uncomfortable. That the first shall be last and the last shall be first. Please turn with me to Matthew 20 verses 1 through 16. And I'm sorry, there's a mistake in the bulletin. It is Matthew 20, 1 through 16 that I'll be preaching on today, where Jesus offers a really curious description of God's mercy. And we have to be careful that we don't press parables too far. Jesus is not suggesting that God the Father is exactly like the farmer in today's story. But the lesson of the parable is simply that God's treatment of other people is not based on human standards of what is right and what is wrong. We want equal pay for equal work, right? But God doesn't necessarily see it the same way. We should not be envious, and we should not be angry because someone gets a better deal. And believe it or not, someone's going to get a better deal than you in this world. And you better get reconciled to that fact right now. Just as no one should begrudge a person for giving to the poor, we shouldn't begrudge God for bestowing his abundant goodness and amazing grace on the least deserving people, including me, including you. This is really good news, but it's also really hard news. Let's prepare our hearts as we turn to Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 16, and hear the good news that our cup overflows with God's mercy and grace. Jesus said, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing to the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them out into his vineyard. when he went out at 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, you also go out to the vineyard and I'll pay you whatever is right. So they went. And when he went out again at noon and again at about 3 o'clock, he did the same thing. At about 5 o'clock, he went out and he found others still standing around. And he said to them, why are you standing here idle all day? And they said to him, because no one has hired us. He said to them, you also go into the vineyard. When evening came and the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last, then going to the first. When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual wage. Just going to say, pause here. That's a denarius. Okay. Now, when they first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. Again, a pause here. One denarius. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, these last worked only 1 hour, and yet you made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat. But he replied to one of them, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to the last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last. The word of the Lord, difficult as it is, thanks be to God. Anyone struggling with this morning? Who would describe themselves as the kind of person that wants to get everything fair and right? Okay. Who made sure that their kids all had the same slice of pie? Okay. Okay. You're going to struggle this morning. But there's good news waiting for you, because this is written particularly. Jesus crafted this parable just for you to hear his grace in a fresh and abundant way. Isn't that good news? For people like you and people like me, this is really good news indeed. So when I lived in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, there were always day laborers waiting outside the Home Depot in the morning. And when I lived in Minneapolis, the day laborers were waiting outside of Menards. And in Mount Vernon, Washington, the day laborers, they just show up at the tulip fields and the potato farms looking for work each day. And I never quite understood how the day labor system worked in Chicago. But I tell you, when I was at North Park, I would just drive down the street and there would be a line of men waiting in a random parking lot in Chicago. And people would pick them up and take them off to go to work for the day. Where do the day laborers wait in Eugene? Do you know? 7-Eleven? 7-Eleven is where the day laborers. Okay. I would not have guessed that. I hope they get a Slurpee with their pay then, because that should be a bonus. So there's got to be a place, 7-Eleven, other places, where day laborers are hired without any uncomfortable questions about work permits or citizenship status, right? That's in every town I've ever lived in. There's always snow that needs shoveling in some towns, and apparently in Eugene today, we need someone to shovel snow. Thank you to the day laborers who did that absolutely free this morning before church. There's always a box that needs moving. There's always someone that needs to have something hammered. There's always some fruit that needs picking. No checks, no credit cards. Just buy the workers lunch and give them cash at the end of the day. At least that's how I understand how the system works. and then you drop them off at Home Depot or Menards or 7-Eleven, where they're going to be waiting once again the next day, hoping someone will pick them up and give them their daily wage. The more things change, the more they stay the same. And today's parable is about the same kind of day laborers that you're going to find waiting outside of Home Depot and 7-Eleven today. They are not skilled laborers. They do not have a steady paycheck. They have no job security. There's no health insurance coming with this job. There's no retirement plan. They don't know where their next meal is coming from. They just hang around busy places hoping that someone is going to give them a job. It was harvest time in today's parable, and someone had to pick the grapes in the vineyard. Anyone here ever pick grapes, by the way? I'm not talking about in your garden. I'm talking about actual going out into the fields and picking grapes or strawberries. There's work. This is work, okay? Picking fruit is long, tedious work, and it needs to get done in a hurry, because when the fruit is ripe, you better pick it. You pick it quickly before the grapes fall off the vine, or the frost comes, or the birds start feasting on your harvest, or worst of all, it all turns into raisins. I like raisins, but come on, grapes are even better than raisins. That often means that those day laborers put in 12-hour days, from sunrise to sunset. In California, migrant workers make minimum wage these days, which is astounding, plus 33 cents for every carton of grapes that they make. The young and the strong can make a pretty decent wage, with minimum wage for 12 hours and all those cartons of grapes. In ancient Israel, everyone got the same pay, one denarius. The landowner, he shows up at, I don't know what the first century equivalent of Home Depot or 7-Eleven was. It says marketplace in today's text. Okay, we'll go with that, the marketplace. But that's where the landowner goes looking for workers. He's at Home Depot. He's at 7-Eleven. And anyone who's ever gotten picked for a gym class sports competition knows what he was looking for, right? I'll take that one, a strong one. I'll take that one, a smart one. I'll take that one, someone who has some skill, someone who knows what they're doing, right? He picked the fastest, the strongest, the smartest, and the healthiest day laborers. He cherry-picked the best cherry pickers to go work in his garden. And he sent them off into the vineyard, promising the usual daily wage. You get $100. You get a denarius. The landowner was back at Home Depot at 9 in the morning. And there were still a bunch of guys looking for work. And they probably weren't the best. They probably weren't the brightest. They probably weren't the healthiest. But hey, there were still lots of grapes to be picked. Come on, I will pay you what's fair. Sends him off to the vineyard. And then he goes back to the marketplace, to the Home Depot, at noon. And he goes back at 3 o'clock. At this point in the day, who's going to be waiting there? Maybe some old men? Maybe some subsistence farmers who already picked all the grapes on their property? They don't have anything, so they're looking for a job. Maybe it's the widows. Maybe it's the orphans. Maybe it's the foreigners in the land, people who were not going to get picked first at 6 a.m. or 9 a.m. And he hires them. He took pity on them. No one is going to go hungry that night. He's really happy to hire them. After all, there's plenty of work in his vineyard, and he had the money to do it. Then comes 5 o'clock. I think we're okay with noon. I think we're okay with 3. But 5, Jesus is just putting some salt on our wounds here, okay? Jesus is just poking at you now. It's not just, Well, we could be gracious to the person who showed up a little bit late. We're talking an hour from the end of the day. Jesus really wants to grab your attention with this parable. Has he done it? Of course he has. Jesus was a master storyteller. So the landowner returns at 5. Who do you think's looking to start work at 5 o'clock in the afternoon? Yeah. Eric is available at the YMCA, but only after 5 p.m. That's good. All right. Thank you. Well, what I was thinking of is maybe a couple shepherds who abandon their sheep for an hour and hope to make a quick buck. Or maybe there's some alcoholics who finally slept off last night's belly full of wine. Finally, at 5 o'clock, they're able to work. Or maybe there are some physically or mentally ill people who've been ignored all day long that no one wanted to hire at Home Depot that entire day. That's who's left. Clearly, these are not people equipped to succeed in life if they're showing up for work at 5 p.m. But the landowner does not care about their limitations. He needs workers. More importantly, he doesn't want anyone to go hungry tonight. He wants everyone to have something in their belly tonight. That's the only explanation why he's still hiring workers an hour before sundown. The vineyard owner is being uncommonly charitable. That's a great story all on its own, except for this detail that Jesus threw in to drive you nuts. After an hour of work, everyone gets paid, and because Jesus is a master storyteller, he adds tension to the story by saying that the latecomers were paid first. And some of you are thinking, that's not fair! And you're right, it's not fair at all. Jesus did warn us that the first shall be last and the last shall be first. And the day laborers expected to get this one denarius of pay, this $100 bill. And when the latecomers come and they get that $100, crisp $100 bill first, the hardest workers started to expect bigger and better things. Oh, this guy's rich. I'm going to get a little something extra for the effort, in the words of Bill Murray. All the best and brightest worked 12 times longer than the slackers. What's more, the strongest and the fittest and the smartest, or at least they thought they were smart at the beginning of the day, they endured the heat of the day. And none of that seems to matter to the landowner. Everyone gets the same amount of money. And the picker started grumbling against the boss man. After all, what kind of economic system is this? Tomorrow, everyone's going to show up late for work and expect a full day's pay. The landowner responds to the criticism well. He even calls the day laborers his friends. Ooh. How often do you think that happens on these kinds of jobs? My friends. The landowner reminds his employees that they got exactly what was promised and not one penny less. Justice was served. And no one should be jealous because the landowner decided to show some charity to widows and orphans and foreigners and maybe the mentally ill and maybe the damaged and the alcoholic. And instead of resenting the landowner, the whole crew, the whole community, everyone who hangs out at Home Depot should be celebrating. Hey, tonight, none of us go hungry. Tonight, no one has to sleep on the street. Amen? The parable defies human logic. We want to get paid what we deserve. Jesus tells us that God the Father sees the world a little differently, okay, a lot differently than we do, right? No one should resent the charitable person who goes beyond what is simply right and takes care of the poor. In the same way, no one should resent God for offering as much grace as he pleases. God is righteous, but more importantly, God is merciful. In the original Greek version, Jesus literally asks, "Are you giving me the evil eye because I was generous?" That's what the Greek says here. And the evil eye is not some magic thing. It's the same evil eye that your mom gave you when you did something naughty. It's the same look of resentment you get when you realized too late that you cut in line in front of someone and you just figured it out a little too late. That's what the evil eye is. It's just someone glaring at you. These days, we might say, are you a little green with envy, right? And the point of this very difficult parable is, are you jealous because God did something good for someone else? Does that make you envious? Does it drive you nuts? No one wants to be resentful, right? We don't want that. We don't want to be envious people. I don't want to think of myself as a jealous person, right? We want to be happy for our friends and our neighbors when success comes their way. But it's not easy to pull off a generous heart. We need the help of the Holy Spirit to make this real in our hearts. Without it, we start to make comparisons rather instinctively. And Jesus warned us, do not judge so that you may not be judged. But we can't help ourselves. Only God has a full picture on a person's life. And yet we leap to all sorts of conclusions. All we really want is to get what is someone to know how hard we have worked in life. And we want a little something extra. And maybe it will come in this world. And truthfully, sometimes it doesn't come in this world where you don't get the little something extra because of all the extra work you put in. But Jesus suggests you'll get what you need even if you don't get everything that you feel you earned. You'll get enough. You'll get what you need with plenty left over for those that couldn't earn it. Paul writes, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. I think that's the key to understanding this passage. To humble yourself and to regard others as better than yourself. Even those that show up for work at 5 p.m. Can you do that? I can't do it on my own. I need a little help on this one, friends. It really burns me. But it's true. That the notorious sinner that repents in the last minute of their life gets the same grace as a little boy that became a Christian at age 4 and preaches the gospel. I'm okay with that. But I need to be reminded by this parable that I should be okay with that. Because on my own, I start making comparisons and start thinking, well, a little something extra would be great. If you want to get rid of the evil eye, the solution is to start looking at people as if they are better than you. And this is really hard for a congregation like Valley Covenant Church, where I see a lot of talented people and a lot of righteous people, a lot of good people. But if you want God to conquer the resentment that's going on in your life, it starts with you honoring people, even if they are less talented and less righteous than you are. I don't know if anyone has the strength to pull this off on their own. But I do believe that Jesus Christ has given us his Holy Spirit to create communities like Valley Covenant Church, where this really does happen and where everyone is treated well and that no one is left behind. I believe it does happen. I've seen it happen again and again in churches. And when it's happened, the world knows that we are Christians by our love. And the abundant grace and mercy of Jesus Christ spreads far and wide. This is gospel. And it's offensive to anyone who's a good person, who does their job right. Are you willing to accept the offense of the gospel this morning and make space for the 1 hour worker in your midst? I hope so. Because when we give that up, when we give up our self-righteousness, that's when grace starts to change the world. Amen. Amen.